And to praise God for another generation of young people that are going through the church, many of them grown up in this church here and graduating from high school and in college. And then when they come back from college, they're back in church, faithful to church. I talked to those college students this morning about how important they are to the cause of Christ and how important they are to our church. And not just this church thing, if you will, and it's not just a church thing, but this living for God is not just for our parents or our grandparents. We need another generation to rise up and to serve Him and to love Him. And I know there are others that are visiting. If I've missed you, I apologize. Thank you so much for being with us. Y'all have a good Christmas this week? Had a good time? How many of you got to spend some time with family? And you still had a good time. All right, that's good. That's a good thing. How many of you got to spend time with in-laws? How many of you are still here with in-laws? You're still, that's all right. These are the ones you want to pray for right here. Those, I don't know which side you have to pray for, but you had a good time. How many of you think you did a pretty good job giving gifts this week? Think you did a pretty good job? Not too many of you, okay? At least you're honest. Not too many folks feel like they do. I like to think that I'm a pretty good gift giver. You know, when a loved one, there's something that they want, they've asked for, and you get them exactly what they wanted. Anybody here, there was something you know that a loved one they wanted, they had asked for, they had put it on their wish list and you gave it to them. I love to give my wife and my kids exactly what they've been asking for. Sometime after last Christmas, our youngest son, Trey, his birthday is 1 week before Christmas exactly. He was born on the 18th. And it was either right after his birthday or right after his third birthday last year or after Christmas. I don't know where he got this idea in his head. I don't know how he started thinking about it. But he began saying, I want a blue motorcycle. I don't know where it came from. We never talked. I don't own a motorcycle. We didn't talk about a motorcycle. And if you asked him, I was somewhere right after his birthday last year or right after Christmas last year. He began saying, I want a blue motorcycle. And in January, if you asked him what he wanted, he would say, I want a blue motorcycle. And you know, when three-year-olds ask for things, they often change their mind. Sometimes that same day. Sometimes if they were in a store, they'll change their mind three or four times. I want that toy, and no, I want this, and oh no, I want that one. You know what I'm talking about? And so for a three-year-old, what they want does not last for very long. And he said, I want a blue motorcycle, and it was for a week, and then it was for a month. And sometimes if they see a commercial, okay, and that's what I want now. Forget the blue motorcycle. But it went for a month or for two, and in March, you know, he would randomly announce, I want a blue motorcycle. In April, we'd be driving down the road, and he would see a motorcycle. I said, like that, I want a blue motorcycle. And we've got this kid that's not even 3 and a half asking for a blue motorcycle. And where did he get this from? What is this talking about? In July, we came down here for a week to visit the church here at Liberty. We were with you all for a week, that week of VBS, and I preached all day on Sunday. And Pastor Tomlinson, I don't know how the conversation came up, but in July, he asked him, like, what do you like, or what kind of toys do you like? And Trey told him, a blue motorcycle. And Pastor Tomlinson said, I've got a blue motorcycle. So Pastor Tomlinson drove his blue motorcycle, rode it down to the church, and let Trey sit on it one day while we were here in July. And he was talking about it in July, and then in August, and then in September. And about a month or so ago, maybe September or October, I don't know where, but we found this little blue motorcycle. There's this toy blue motorcycle that we found. And I thought, I came home and I thought, this is awesome, Tiff. We found a blue motorcycle and we brought it home and we gave it to Trey. And he thought it was cool. You had to put this thing together. It was kind of a 5 or 6 piece model. We put it together and he played with it a little bit. You know, he rolled it along the ground a couple times. And then that's where it ended up, you know, in a little thing. And I said, Trey, you got your blue motorcycle. But this wasn't the blue motorcycle he wanted. I thought, okay, September, we got him his blue motorcycle. I mean, it's blue, it's a motorcycle. He said, no, and he pointed at the ones I want one that you can ride like that. I want a blue motorcycle. And he began to talk about that, and this one here didn't fill his need for a blue motorcycle. In fact, the first week, last week of November, first week of December, I had one of the ladies that was with him in Kitty Church, and she said, I asked Trey what he wants for Christmas, and he said, I want a blue motorcycle. And so I thought, this has been like 11 or 12 months. This is kind of getting kind of serious. Number one, I can't really afford a real blue motorcycle. Number two, I don't know what he's going to do with a real blue. I don't know what he's, where am I going to find a blue motorcycle for this kid? So I jumped online and began looking, maybe the last week of November, October, something like that, and began to search. And what did I find? I came across this listing right here. I came across a blue motorcycle. You see the price on that? That's what I thought too, $240. for a blue. I thought, I'm not getting a blue motorcycle. And so I thought, and I looked at it and I read some reviews on it, and I thought, $240 for a four-year-old? Well, guess what we did? You can tell what we did because in the upper left-hand corner, Amazon tells you what we did. It says, you purchased this item on December 8th, 2015. And you know what? On his birthday, about a week before Christmas, on December 18th, we had a very happy, after about a year of asking, we had a very happy boy. And I think we have a picture there that shows Trey on the morning of his birthday with his blue motorcycle. This does have something to do with the message, by the way. This is not just show and tell time with my family, all right? And this Friday, like you, and so that was a week ago Friday, we had the blue motorcycle, and I gave him the gift that he had been asking for. I gave him the gift that he wanted. This past Friday, like you, we were opening our presents, and our oldest son had asked for new basketball shoes for the upcoming basketball season at Newport Christian School, and he had showed me the ones that he wanted at Foot Locker, and so guess what my wife and I did a week or two before Christmas? We went down to South Coast Plaza and went to the Foot Locker and found the shoe that he had showed us, and I pulled it out, and I said, we need this in a size 6.5, and they went back, and they came back and said, we don't have this. And so you know what I did? I gave up on getting it, right? No, you know what I did? Just like you would have done probably, I went back to the house and jumped online to find a 6.5 in this exact size, and I ordered it online to make sure it would get shipped, and I think I have a picture of the joy from Christmas morning there of when he got the shoes that he wanted there. And that was and we see as parents, we see the joy on the faces of our children, but when they make it very clear, this is the top of the list. Our kids change a little bit, and as they grow, and Titus, he's our oldest son, and he created a Christmas list, and then this year it was color-coded. He had a Christmas wish list and all the things that he wanted, and then he went back and he decided he did orange, yellow, and blue highlighters, and he had a little key. Orange was the stuff I really want, yellow's the stuff I kind of want, blue's the stuff that it's okay if you get me or not, you know, and he gave me all. But we have, and as parents, if you have children or you have grandchildren, or a husband or a wife, or whatever it might be, we have a desire to give our children, especially when they make it clear what they want, and we know it's going to bring them joy, and we know it's going to bring them happiness. We have a desire to give them what we want, what they've asked for. What does all this have to do with the message? Nothing really. I just wanted to be appreciated for spending so much money on a dumb motorcycle. Turn with me to Matthew 7. It does have something to do with our message. Matthew chapter 7. Hold your hand there in Matthew 7. Put a marker there. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter number 4. I'm sure that all of you can relate and have similar stories of the joy from gift giving and receiving through the years with your family. Maybe a special gift the parent gave you or a grandparent. Maybe a special gift you gave a spouse or a friend or a loved one, a brother or a sister. A special gift, that joy on a face as you surprised your parents with something or you surprised a child. All of us would have similar stories of getting that gift exactly what somebody wanted and seeing the joy on their faces as you provided something for them that they wanted. And we find ourselves, and we'll get to our text in a moment, but we're going to begin in Matthew chapter number 4. These are the words of Christ from what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 24. The Bible says, and his fame went throughout all Syria, that's talking of Christ, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, which were possessed, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Verse 25 of Matthew 4. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, this is interesting, and we can learn some things here from Christ. This isn't the message, but it's interesting. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. It's interesting, as life gets busy, and as his workload increases, and as he sees the multitudes coming and he needs to help them, what does Christ do? He actually pulls away. You see, Christ understood the value of training. He understood he needed to multiply himself, and so he was going to train his disciples now. He understood understood the value of time apart and of renewal and of sharpening the saw, if you will. And he understood that. And when the multitudes come, he pulls away. And I believe, as we read this, he understands, okay, our work, he's waited. He's only going to have a short, brief 3-year ministry. We've waited 30 years. Things are about to get really busy here in our ministry. The Bible said there in verse number 24, his fame went throughout all Syria. The crowds are starting to come. And I believe he understands, okay, I need to now really prepare these disciples. Because if my life and legacy and ministry, if my impact is going to live on, I'm going to have to, it's going to live on through the disciples. We see that later on when he tells them, you're going to go and turn the world upside down. Greater works than these will you do. Christ understood he needed to train those disciples and get them ready. They were going to have to be able to help him serve with all of what was taking place there. And that was his plan. His fame had begun to grow and his followers had increased exponentially. His disciples had been chosen, and now it was time for them to do their work. Christ called them aside to teach them and equip them with the truths which they would need to accomplish his purpose for their lives. And in Matthew 5, we have what we call the Beatitudes, where it talks about blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And it goes with all these blessings. And I've done a series before in teaching through the Beatitudes, and maybe I'll do it again sometime. Wonderful thing to study, where Christ talked about all these things. Blessed are you when you do these things. And he goes through the Beatitudes, and then Christ talks about, if you follow in chapters 5 and 6, he begins to talk about the law, Mosaic law, the Jewish law, and how he fits in with that. And that was very important in those days, how he fit in with the law. He begins in chapter 5, he teaches on divorce, and chapter 6 on how to serve God. He talks to them about prayer and the importance of prayer. And then he talks to them about their finances and what their attitude toward finances should be, about their need for faith. And then we come to our text in chapter 7, beginning in verse number 7. And Christ is teaching here in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7, verse number 7. And he tells his disciples, and he tells those that are there, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or, what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon our message this morning. God, I do pray now for these next few moments as I seek to share the thought that you've given me. I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in and do what I cannot do. God, would you speak to hearts? Would your word become alive to those of us that have taken the time to be in your house this morning? I pray that you would help us to truly understand you and who you are and your nature as our Heavenly Father. And God, may it encourage us and may it strengthen us and may it help us. God, may it convict us as we move forward in our lives is my prayer. In Christ's name, amen. As I read that passage there, and he says, which of you, in verse number 9, what man is there of you, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? He says, if your child asks for fish, you'll give him a serpent. And then he says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, will he give good gifts to them that ask him? And I read that recently, and as I thought about it as it relates to Christmas time, I read that and I thought, if I know how to take care of my family, then God knows how to take care of me. And I believe that's true. However, that's not exactly what Christ is teaching in that verse. You see, there are three little words that at my first reading that I kind of skipped over. See, I read that, and I read where it said, if ye then, being evil, if you know how to give good gifts, then your heavenly Father knows how to take care of you. If you know how to provide for your family, then your heavenly Father knows how to provide for you. If you know how to get the blue motorcycle for your son, then maybe God will give you the blue Ferrari. I don't know if that's how it works, but you know how to take care of your children. God knows how to take care of you. And then I read it again. And our verse comes, it's really the title of our message. Our text comes from verse number 11. It's the first three words after the word children. It says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, would you read those next three words with me aloud? Ready? Begin. How much more? Would you read those again one more time? How much more? He said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And as I read that, I was struck by the love of the Heavenly Father. I was struck by his mercy and his grace and his love. And as we read that, the picture of God and who he is. And I kind of had skipped over those words. And really, those words changed that truth substantially. Because it's not just on the same level. If I know how to take care of my kids, then the Heavenly Father knows how to take care of me. If I know how to take care of my kids, how much more? We serve a how much more God. We serve a how much more Heavenly Father. And again, this is not the televangelist prosperity gospel. This is not the give $5 at church and you'll find $50 in the parking lot when you walk out. This is not the if you give money here, then you're going to be blessed. Whatever it might be, the mega church, wherever it might be. This is not that at all, but this is having a proper picture of the God that we serve. Have a proper understanding of the Heavenly Father that we serve. You see, I think if we're not careful, sometimes we live in fear of God. Now, the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord. That's a respect and a reverence. God is a loving Heavenly Father, and we see it here. Our children are not supposed to live in constant fear and terror of us in our homes. And we're not supposed to live that way with our God. And I think sometimes we live in this kind of terror and fear and guilt that he's going to get back at me and he's going to get me and God's looking. If he was going to get back at any of us, none of us would be here today. God is a God of mercy and of love and of long-suffering and of forgiveness. That's the God that we serve. But sometimes I think if we're not careful, I think we get this wrong picture of God. And I know that I have in my own life. And I read that and I thought, well, I try to do my best for my kids. And so God, if I can take care of them, God can take care of me. And then I read it again and I said, oh, how much more? By the way, talking about good gifts, I just saw Whitney. Whitney's sitting by my wife here. And baby Jude, Whitney probably got the best Christmas present of any of us this year. Her little baby, baby Jude, came home from the hospital yesterday. And that's been quite a while. He was born September, is that right? September 3rd, he was born 1 pound, 8 ounces. Whitney was recently saved and baptized in our church and faithful young mom. And appreciate her being in church. And congratulations, baby Jude is home. And looking forward to having him when he can visit the church for the first time. But how much more? How much more the Bible does God love us? It changes it completely. It's not just on the same level of what I can do for my children. How much more carries along the idea of you can't even start to imagine. You haven't even scratched the surface. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Heavenly Father? You can't even imagine. You haven't even begun to scratch the surface of his love. What Christ is saying to them, I'm about to send you out to serve with me, and it's going to get tough, disciples. He just got done telling them, blessed are you when men shall revile you. He's telling them, we're getting ready. We're embarking on a path. It's going to be tough. There's going to be some long nights. People are going to misunderstand us. People are going to betray us. People are going to attack us. People are going to falsely accuse us. But I need you to understand the God that we serve. He's a how much more God. I need you to understand the love of the Father that we're serving. He'll take care of it, guys. That if you know how to take care of your children, how much more? If I know anything in this life, I can tell you that I love the 5 children that God has blessed me with. How much more does the Heavenly Father love us? If you love your children, if God's blessed you with children, you love your children, would you say amen this morning? How much more? If you and I, taking care of our children, we have a desire to take care of them, of course, how much more? If we're not careful, I think we lose sight of the how much more in our God. We look around us at times and we think maybe God has forgotten us and maybe God doesn't know where I'm at and maybe my burden really doesn't matter. The Bible says that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. It's like you saying if your child was facing a trial or had a burden or had a heartache and undoubtedly you would say, of course I care for that child. Of course I'm burdened when they're burdened. Of course my heart breaks when their heart is broken. Of course I pray for them and I want to see them come through that. Of course all of those things are true. I would say to you, if you understand that love that you have for your child, but why don't we understand the love that he has for his children? Hey, disciples, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Heavenly Father? How much more does he love us? How much more? Christ is teaching his disciples, and he uses a very, very easily understood picture of love. One of the strongest and deepest loves a human can possibly have is that love for a child. And then he says, he takes maybe one of the strongest loves that we can have as humans. He takes it and he says, and you know how much you love your kids? You don't have any idea how much the Heavenly Father loves you. He knows you intimately. He loves you deeply. He cares for every area of your life. The Bible says that he knows how many hairs are on your head. Hebrews 4, chapter 15 tells us, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore, why? Therefore what? Because he knows what we've been through. Because he cares. The songwriter said, does Jesus care when my heart would break? And he goes through, and then the chorus says, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. The Bible teaches that. And I think at times, if we're not careful, we get a wrong picture of the Heavenly Father. And we start to think, and I don't mean this disrespectfully or irreverently, we start to think of him as maybe either a wrath-filled judge, or we start to think of him as an elderly grandpa up there that kind of is disconnected and doesn't know who we are. And that's not the picture at all of the God that we serve. That's not, and Christ was trying to make that very clear to his disciples. Disciples, he loves you as much as you love your children. How much more? Have you forgotten about that love this morning, Liberty Baptist Church? Have you failed to realize how strong and how deep and how eternal that love is? Have you gotten used to the love of Christ? Let me remind you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a father that he would sacrifice his own son for you and for me. What manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us, the Bible says. And what kind of love is this? This is an indescribable love. This is an unending love. It's an unconditional love. Have we lost sight of the love of God? As Brother Scott was singing that song, and there was a verse in there where it talked about his love, and I just got overwhelmed about the fact that God loves me and God loves you. How much more? Have you forgotten about that? Has it become about what we can get from him? Have we lost the relationship? Has it become about what he can do for us? Has it just become just going through the motions? I go to church on Sunday and I go here and I go there, and this is kind of my little religious club and this is what we do. Or is there a deep, intimate, burning desire and love between you and the Father? If you have children, you know that relationship. You want it to be close with your children, and you want there to be an intimacy, and you want there to be a communion, and you want there to be a closeness. You want your hearts knit together. How much more the Heavenly Father? As we look at the picture Christ gives, a parent giving good gifts to a child, think with me. What are some of the things that we as humans give our children? And then I want us to apply these three words to these areas. Number one, what do we give our children? We give our children, number one, provision, don't we? We provide for them, don't we? Verse number 9, would you notice verse number 9? What is Christ saying? Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? What is he saying? It's natural for a parent to provide for the child. If the child needs something to eat, the parent's going to make sure the child has something to eat. We provide for our kids no matter how difficult finances may be. If we, again, I understand there are some parents that are evil or that are perverted or have a warped sense and they don't have what the Bible calls natural affection. I understand that. They're abusive and hurtful. But for the most part, the love of a parent to a child, what's going to happen if we have a choice, me eating or my child eating, and only one of us gets to eat? We're going to make sure the child eats. Am I right? We're going to sacrifice for the provision of our children. If we have to, we may work a second job. We may not be able to get a nice new car, but we will not allow our children to go hungry. We may have to get a second job to feed our family, but our family will be fed. And I want to say to you, if you know how to provide for the needs of your family, how much more your Heavenly Father will give good gifts to them that ask him. Look at what he told his disciples just a few verses before as he led into this passage that we read, Matthew 6, beginning in verse number 25. Notice what he's saying about how much the Father loves and will provide and care for you. Don't lose sight of this, church. Matthew chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Notice what he said. Are ye not much better than they? God takes care of the birds. He says he loves you more than them. Verse number 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Matthew 6:30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not, what are the next two words there, church? Shall he not what? Much more. You see it there in verse number 30? Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, because of his love, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the material things of life, shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What is he saying? He's telling his disciples, God loves you. God will provide for you. Don't worry about it. Don't make that your priority. How do I get more stuff, and how do we pay these bills? And I'm not saying we don't budget, and I'm not saying we're not wise stewards. We'll talk about some financial principles from God's Word in a month or two during our series. I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying is, what is he saying? The Heavenly Father loves you and will provide for you. And if you're not careful, there are times when we face difficulties in life and we wonder, has God forgotten? Does he still know where I'm at? Does he know the needs that I'm facing? Does he know what I need? And what I'm here to tell you is, if you know and care about the needs of your loved ones, how much more your Heavenly Father? What financial struggle are you facing? Have you found yourself on hard times? Do you not know where the next grocery bill is going to come from? Or how you're going to pay the next month's rent? Remember those three words, how much more? What do we give our children? We give them provision. The songwriter said, be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. We lose sight of that, don't we, sometimes? Again, God's blessed us with 5 children. I hope and I don't think any of them have ever gone to bed any night, our oldest is 13, in however many days that is, going to bed worried, crying, fearful, are we going to have food to eat next tomorrow? Now, can I tell you, there have been some hard financial times my wife and I have faced. There have been some difficult times. There have been some days where there was literally nothing in the fridge. There have been days where there was more month than there was paycheck. Been there? My kids never carried that burden. I don't think, and I hope they didn't, and I don't want them to go to bed worrying at night, am I going to have clothes to wear tomorrow? Why? The Father's supposed to take care of that. I'm supposed to provide that, even if I have to carry the burden, but we do that, and the Bible says, if you know how to do that on an earthly level, how much more? And yet we as the children, we go to bed worried and fretting and concerned and full of care, don't we, so often? And we don't have the faith, God, I trust you, and God, you're there, and God, I understand you do love me. And by the way, there is our part in this. We do have to ask, and the Bible talks about the fact, if you need to ask your Heavenly Father, and you go to there, and we're going to get to it in a minute, but sometimes the reason we don't feel like we have everything we need is because it's not what we need, but it's our wants that we don't have, not necessarily our needs. But we understand that as it relates to our children, but what about with our Heavenly Father? God has not forgotten about you, church. He knows your struggles. He knows your needs. If you can take care of your kids, how much more can He provide for you? The psalmist said it this way, I have been young and now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What did he say? God has always taken care of his own. God has always met the needs of his own. Now, that doesn't mean a life of ease. That doesn't mean a life with no trial. We see that with the disciples. That doesn't mean they almost all of them were martyred and died for the cause of Christ. That doesn't mean a life of no enemies, a life of no attacks, a life of no burdens, and a life of no heartaches. What it does mean is you do not have to live a day on this earth wondering, is there anybody that loves me and is there anybody that cares for me? You don't have to ever face a trial alone. That's what it does mean. The Bible says, if ye then know how to provide for your family, how much more your heavenly Father? My wife and I have seen this at times in our marriage. There was a time in our marriage, what was probably the lowest financial point. It looked like we were going to lose the home we were living in. We're not going to be able to live there any longer. We had 3 young children. We needed groceries. There was literally nothing in the fridge. We needed some things around the house. It was bleak. Payday was a week away, and this is not an exaggeration. The ledger read $50 in the checking account, and the savings account had the minimum $100 that had to be in there so they didn't charge you a fee. It wasn't like I had investments and savings. And again, I'm not proud of that. That's not wise stewardship, but that's where we found ourselves. And in a 48-hour time period, I jotted this down because it was one thing after another. I came to God and I prayed and I asked God, would you take care of our family? And in a 48-hour time period, all completely unexpected, we received a $200 cash gift from somebody. We received some food items from a church member who had never given us anything like that before and has never given us anything like that since. We received another $100 gift card unexpectedly from someone else. My mom called and said, hey, Grandma went shopping at Costco. We have way too much stuff for our house. I need to bring you over some of the extras. And brought us a bunch of extra stuff from Costco. A nice meal was provided for our family. We, again, did not have anything for dinner that night. And a friend called and said, hey, I want to take your family out to eat. After dinner, took us to Target and said, I want all of you to buy what you need. And he was saying, you know, if you want to get shoes or a sweater or whatever, my wife went straight to the grocery aisle and bought household items for our family. All of this completely unexpected. I believe, and there have been other times where God, I have another illustration written down here for the sake of time I won't give you, and there are other things. But I remember clearly thinking God was showing me that how much more. 48 hours, and in a short time period, it's not like that happens to us every 48 hours of our life, okay? That was a little bit of a strange thing. And in 48 hours, God just from one place after, we didn't tell anybody we needed anything, we didn't ask anybody, and from one place after another, that is the God that we serve. Now again, he's not a genie in a bottle. Well, I prayed, and how come that didn't happen to me? And I didn't, but he is a God who is faithful and true. He is a God that will do what he promised he would do. What do we provide for our children? We provide provision. What do we provide for our children? And the Bible says how much more? Number two, we provide peace, don't we? We seek to provide a peace, a loving, safe environment for them. Sometimes it's peace in the midst of the storm, not peace from the storm. We cannot, nor do we want to, shield them from every trial or tribulation. And may I say that again, as parents, we should not want to shield our children from every trial and tribulation. It is in those times very often that God is molding us and forming us. But what we can do is bring some peace to the midst of their storm. When our children, I've heard it said, you don't prepare the path for your child, you prepare your child for the path. It doesn't mean you get all the storm out of the way, but when your child's facing a storm, you're there to say, it's going to be okay, honey. There's someone that loves you. I'll walk through this storm with you. I'll walk through this. You have somebody that will not leave you. Mom is here for you. Dad is here for you. And every parent would seek to do that for their children. If we would seek to give that love and that peace and create that for our children, how much more the Heavenly Father? You say, where is that in Scripture? Turn with me, if you will, over to John in chapter number 14. John in chapter number 14, Christ talking to his disciples again about the fact that God, our Heavenly Father, wants to give us peace. You're listening well. I'll seek to hasten here to finish up. John in chapter number 14. Sometimes we can't fix the problem for our children, but it's just enough to let them know, I'm here for you. You can talk to me about it. You can cry about this with me. I love you. I'll guide you through this. I'll help you however I can. You can cry on my shoulder. And by the way, sometimes it talks about he calms the stormy seas, and sometimes he calms me. You ever hear that song before? And it talks about that. Sometimes the storm still rages, but he gives peace. Sometimes he gives peace from the storm. Sometimes he gives peace in the storm. But he wants to give us peace. None of us want to see our children face a hardship and a heartache and a burden alone. Oh, we might not be able to fix it, and maybe we shouldn't fix it, but we can love them through it. And that's the Father that we serve. Notice John chapter number 14, beginning in verse number 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, by the way, that's one of the Holy Ghost's functions. He's to comfort you, to give you peace. Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Verse number 27, what did Christ say? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Christ was not saying here in John 14, 27, now, I give you a peaceful path. I give you a road with no burdens. I give you a journey with no heartaches. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I'm leaving my peace with you. And whatever you face, I will be enough. I will comfort you. I will hold your hand. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. What is he saying? I'm not promising a life with no trials. I'm not promising a life with no tribulations. But I am promising there will never be a trial or tribulation that I will not be right there with you to hold your hand. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, he said. My peace I leave you. What did it say in John 14, 1? If you look right at the top there, what did he say? The first verse, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house were many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, behold, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again. What is he saying? Hey, guys, I've got it all under control. I'm leaving you now, but don't let your heart be troubled. I'm leaving you now. And when you face the burdens and people don't understand you and people attack you and you don't know where it's going to come from, have the peace that knows I know where you're at and I'm preparing a place and I'm going to take care of everything in the end. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What is Christ saying? I want to give you peace. Have you been living in your Christian life a life with no peace? That's not the life God wants you to live. Is that the life you want your children to live if God's giving you children? You don't want them completely unsettled every day, do you? You don't want them waking up worried about what's going to happen today and how it's going to work out. You want them to just live the life that God's called them to live and enjoy it and know that mom and dad have everything under control. Isn't that how we treat our children? Mom and dad take care of it, and we carry the burdens, and the burdens we can't carry, we help you carry, and we'll guide you through it, and we have it all. And we understand that in my home and in yours, and we understand that in our lives, but we somehow lose it. And it's not just that the same level that we do it for our kids, he does it for us. It's not that. It's the three words that's the title of the message that changes it all. How much more your Heavenly Father. That's the God that we serve. He wants to give you provision. How much more? He wants to give you peace. How much more? Children have no idea the magnitude of the storm. The same for us. We don't ask our children to carry every burden. The same for us. We try to give shelter from the storm. The same for us with the Heavenly Father. Number three. The third thing that we like to give our kids that I believe how much more the Heavenly Father. Not only provision, not only peace, but pleasure. I'm going to be careful. Of course, I'm using that to stay alliterated. Again, I'm not talking about a prosperity gospel. I'm not talking about God. All God cares about is that you have a fun life. But what does that verse say? We don't need to turn back there. But he said, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things? Good things. That's what God wants to give you. He wants us to enjoy some good things. That doesn't always mean money. That doesn't always mean material goods. That doesn't always mean a promotion at work. That doesn't always mean a bunch of money in the bank account. And that it's not all that our mind always thinks about. When we think about blessing, it always goes toward the financial. It always goes toward the material. That's not the only realm that God operates in. But he does want us to enjoy the pleasures of life. I'm come that they might have life, and they might have it where they just endure it. That's not what it says. I'm come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. The Christian life is not a life to be endured, folks. It's a life to be enjoyed. And again, I don't mean that it's all roses and daisies and unicorns and Skittles. That's not what I'm talking about. So we have to be careful because of American society and Christianity. When I say it's a life to be enjoyed, well then, it's just all about me. And a church member in the church, we are not called to be consumers in the church. If we're saved, we're called to be contributors. We're called to be serving others and living for others. It's not all about me and what I can get out of the church. And so, hey, he said that God wants me to just enjoy the Christian life so I can, that we're going to get there in our series. We begin next Sunday morning on the church. We're going to start a series, about 8-week series on the church, God's plan and our part. And we're going to see all of that. But God does not want you to, he does not want you to hate this fact that you are his child. Again, when we apply this, and I'm not trying to take scripture out of context, I'm applying it to our homes because Christ applied it to our homes. How many of us, if we have parents, want our kids waking up every day hating the home they live in? I hate my parents. I hate my home. I hate the fact that I have to live here. I hate the life that I live, and I can't wait to get out of it. That would break every parent's heart if that's how we felt our kids, if that's how our kids felt. It'd break our hearts. And there are times where kids, maybe at times, they feel that way for one reason or another. That's not what we want, though, as parents. And yet, I think we get this idea that if I enjoy it, it must not be God's will. It might, if it's something that is that I'm passionate about, it, for me to be serving God, I have to be in a hut in Africa eating locusts. That's the only way that I could possibly be pleasing God. And if God calls you to live in a hut in Africa eating locusts, you're going to love it there. You really will. I've been with missionaries on different countries and different continents. And if when those that are in the middle of God's will, they love it wherever God has placed them. But we get this idea that if life is somehow enjoyable, that it's sinful and that it's bad. We have a Heavenly Father. Again, apply it to our own homes. That's what he did. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Do you have a proper perspective of the Father that loves you? Of the God that you serve? Of the Father that sent his only begotten Son to die for you? He wants to give you provision, and he wants to give you peace, and he wants to give you pleasure. And you say then, well, why hasn't he given me that Ferrari that I need? Because you don't need it. Okay, well, why doesn't he give me that Ferrari that I want? I'll tell you why. Have you ever taken your child, a young child, to a toy store? What do they want? Everything. How many of you buy them everything? Now, the grandparents in here would all raise their hands. They buy them everything, right? I've heard it said, if I knew having grandparents were so fun, I would have had them first. And some of you might be able to relate to that here tonight, today. We don't do that. Why? Because we know it wouldn't be good for them. We're not going to give them this and this and this and this and this. No, son, you need to learn to save up for something. You need to learn to work hard for something. You need to learn the joy of waiting for something and then getting it later on. And there's a joy that comes from that. And we understand that with our children. And the same thing with the Heavenly Father. He doesn't always give us everything we need or everything we want because he understands it wouldn't be good for us. And it's good for us to wait on him. And it's good for us. My son asked for a blue motorcycle. I didn't give it to him in February or March or April or May. I didn't give it to him just when he started asking for it. We waited and waited and waited, made sure he really wanted it and made sure that, you know, hopefully we wouldn't end up in an emergency room if we bought it and studied it a little bit and looked at those things. And then we gave it to him. And you know what? I think he appreciated it maybe a little bit more because he waited for it. And he's going to enjoy a little bit longer. And the same thing is true with our Heavenly Father. It says in James, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. There are some things God doesn't give us because he knows they wouldn't be good for us. Again, what I'm preaching today is not a promise for a genie in a bottle to give you everything you want. But what I am saying, there is a promise, I believe in God's word, that God wants to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He wants to give you things along the pathway of life that bring you pleasure. It might be a close friendship. It might be a loving family. It might be a beautiful sunset. It might be an unexpected gift. It might be a sweet memory. It might be the privilege to serve him in one capacity or another. It might be an answered prayer. It might be a meaningful, encouraging conversation with someone. It might be a text message. It might be the joys of family. And yes, even the joys with in-laws. It might be the joys of life. It might be all of those things. And God wants you to enjoy those things. It might be a church family that loves you, or the privilege to lead a soul to Christ. This week, there were two different families. There was more than two, but there are two specific specifically that come to mind as I was studying for this message this week, and many folks were very kind to us and remembered us and our children, but there were two that had nothing to do with anything financial, but they went out of their way to do a little something for us, and I looked at that and I thought, that's God using his people to encourage us to give us pleasure along the pathway of life. And it wasn't a gift, and it wasn't a gift card, and it wasn't money, and it wasn't a meal out, it was just something, just a gesture. Just something small, and I thought, thank you, God. You used one of your children to encourage us. You want me to have pleasure, don't you? Not sinful pleasure. Not carnal pleasure. Not again consuming it upon our lusts, but that's the God that we serve. You've listened well. I've gone a little long. Number four, the last thing we seek to give our children that I believe how much more. Number four, protection. God forbid you are faced, if you have children, you are faced with the choice, your life or your child's. For most of us, if not all of us, it wouldn't even be a question. My life. And again, I hope I'm not being irreverent here. God had to make that decision as well. Your life or his son's. And he said, you know what? I love you so much, I'm going to seek to protect you from eternal damnation. I'm going to seek to give you the gift of eternity in heaven forever. I want to spend heaven forever. And so the son was separated from the father. I mentioned this on Wednesday night during the Christmas, or Thursday night, Christmas Eve service. The son was separated from the father so that we would never have to fear separation from the father. The son who should have been adored was rejected so that we would never have to fear being rejected. And what happened? The Bible says, how much did he love you? You want to, again, my life or my children's. If somebody made me choose that, I hope I would have the courage, and I believe in my heart, I would say, take my life, let them live. And that's exactly what Christ did for you. And the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You think you would lay down your life for your children? How much more. The Heavenly Father gave us the greatest gift of Jesus Christ. To be born, it's what we celebrated this week at Christmas. To live, to die, to rise again. Why? Because he's a how much more God. Yes, he wants to provide for you. Yes, he wants to give you peace, sometimes from the storm and sometimes in the storm. Yes, he wants to give you pleasures, and he wants to protect you so that you never spend a single second in a place called hell. The Bible says there is a real place called hell. You know what? If you go back there, it says, which of you then, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give good things to those that ask him? We do have a part in all of this. To those that ask him. You want protection from hell? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have to take a step of faith and say, God, I'm not trusting in myself any longer. I'm trusting in you and only you. You want that provision and that? Which of you shall he give good things to them that ask him? Have you been limiting God? Have you shortened his arm? Have you forgotten how great he is and how much he loves you? On this Christmas weekend, as we enjoyed the joys of family, and maybe we gave gifts to loved ones and to moms and dads and brothers and sisters and children and nieces and nephews, and we watched them open up that present that they knew they would like, and we gave the Starbucks gift card to the coffee addict, and we gave the toy over here to this person, and we gave the cash or gift card to the wife because we had no idea how to pick out the right clothes from the clothing store. And we watched them open those presents, and we enjoyed that. And we were willing to sacrifice some of what we wanted for the joys of others. What I'm saying to you this morning, church, we understand that at Christmas time in our families. And we understand that what I'm saying to you, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? That's the God you serve. That's the God who loves you. If you don't know him as Savior, that's the God who wants you to know him as Savior. That's the God who wants to save you. The Bible says, let today be the day of your salvation. Let it be today in your life. He wants to provide for you. Just like you want to provide for your loved ones, how much more he wants to provide for you? You want your loved ones to have peace, sometimes in their storm and sometimes from their storm? How much more? You want your loved ones to have godly pleasures in this life? How much more? You want your loved ones to have protection from things down here, and even more importantly, from eternal damnation? How much more? He wanted you to have it so much, he sent Christ to earth to die for you. Three little words can change your entire outlook on God, can't they? How much more? Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I pray that, Lord, the thoughts you gave me this week would have been conveyed properly to your people. I don't know the needs represented here. I don't know what folks are facing and the heartaches and the burdens and the trials. But I pray your Holy Spirit would take that which is needed, and God, you would apply it in every situation exactly as it's needed. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and I know we have many that are visiting here, and we have regular members and attendees as well. Whether you've been coming, this is your first Sunday, or you've been coming for 20 years. Can I ask you this morning, how many of you would say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I were to die, I would go to heaven. I've placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I know for sure if I die, heaven is my home. Could you slip your hand up? I know for sure if I died, heaven is my home. I've trusted Christ. So say, you can put it down. There were some in this room that could not raise your hand. I appreciate your honesty. If you're here this morning, you say, you talked about the fact that God wants me to have protection from eternal damnation. He wants me to spend eternity in heaven and not hell. That's kind of a new concept to me. I don't really understand all about that. I've never trusted Christ as my personal Savior. I've never made a decision to ask Him for that protection. And you say, Pastor, I've never asked Him to save me, but I want to be saved. I don't want to spend eternity in hell. I want to go to heaven. Would you pray for me, Pastor? I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Just slip it up. I won't point you out. I won't single you out. I see one hand here. I won't call your name. I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I understand that God loves me and wants me to go there. I've never made that decision. Would you slip your hand up so that I can pray with you? How many of you would say, Pastor, I saw some things this morning from God's Word. And maybe I had a wrong view of God. And I've been taking too much upon me. As Christ told His disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, take no thought of tomorrow. I've been worried. I've been thinking about it. I've been wondering if God loves me or if He's forgotten about me. I've been wondering all these things. And God showed me some things this morning I'm going to seek to apply to my life. Pastor, would you pray for me that I would take these thoughts and apply them to my daily life? Would you slip your hand up so that I can pray with you? Many hands, and I appreciate the way you've listened. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand together. The piano begins to play. The altar's open. If God has spoken to your heart and you'd like to spend some time, you can come forward and pray here at the altar. You can pray there at your seat. Everybody standing with their heads bowed and their eyes closed. How much more? If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as Savior, would you come forward right now, slide out of your seat? Ask the person next to you, will you go with me? They'll take it and let one of our ladies show a lady, one of our men show a man how they can know for sure when you die you're going to heaven from the Bible. You have a special prayer request you'd like somebody to pray with you about. The altar's open. We'd be honored to pray with you. You've been coming to our church for a while. You're not a member, but you're interested in church membership. You can slide out right now and let one of our pastors talk with you. Whatever the need may be, we'd be honored to help you in any way that we can. Spend some time in prayer thanking the Father for the how much more God that He is. She's playing that song, how deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that He would give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure.